Right, so the other day, I'm driving, right? Driving for work. And who would call me for the first time in weeks? None other than our boy, Jimmy Mata, right?
Oh, from the motherland?
This guy, no, he calls me from Mallorca,
okay.
Spain. And not only from Mallorca, man calls me from a nightclub.
Straight out of the club.
Straight, no, in the club.
Oh, he's in the club.
He's still in the club,
he's
apparently.
He's FaceTiming you.
He's just called me. Wanted to just chat a bit of rubbish, as usual, between us two. So we're talking sport, whatever. The man's just, he's talking to Brazilian girls. He's dancing, he's drinking, he's having a great time. So, shout out to Mata.
Yes, baby.
Mata also, have to say, congratulations, beat me in Supercoach draft.
He's gone back to back, hasn't he?
Back to back drafts, man. Man's unstoppable. That's his game. So, he'll enjoy me saying that, but well done, Mata.
We were joking about if Mata applied himself to other things like he did to Supercoach, man, he'd be a millionaire right now.
He'd be CEO, millionaire.
Jeff Bezos and James Mata are right next to each other.
Nah, great guy. Well done, Mata.
Congratulations, dude.
But yeah, dude, huge round. We're down to one more.
Yes.
Finals upon us.
And still not decided.
Still not decided. I mean,
season's up in the air.
Usually the last few spots in the eight, at least the last two, are up to up for grabs in the last round. So that's not abnormal. But even like the order of the top four is not.
But
it's crazy.
Anyone, like, Cats could still not play finals.
Can they?
I think so, yeah.
You know, I haven't overanalyzed it because I've just had a horrible
weekend. If anyone's interested, there's this article that came out today or yesterday on AFL, and it shows every top eight team's chance, and it says, like, how Blues could be fourth or could be eighth if these three teams win. You know, Collingwood could be eight if Carlton loses by 100 points and Collingwood wins by 100 points. All those type of scenarios.
That's great. I'm actually looking now. So Geelong, they're playing West Coast. So it kind of rules that out. But are they lucky they're playing West Coast.
Yeah. Jeez.
Crazy. Anyway.
Okay. So Geelong's going to finish top four because he can't lose to West Coast. Even Carlton couldn't do that. But happy to say, even though it's been like this for a little while, happy to say officially Essendon, mathematically, is out of the race.
Round of applause.
Congratulations. Bombers, yes. Congratulations. Well done, boys. You know what?
Oh, was that the first game? Yeah, let's talk about that one, right? So the Bombers are playing Sydney and, man, nothing funnier, and I'm a culprit of this week. I'll get to that later, but nothing funnier than fans leaving the game early.
Yeah.
All right? And I'll put my hands up later. I've got a bit of a story with that, but
I've done it a couple of weeks ago.
You did it a couple of weeks ago. I did it. Everyone's taking turns. Mate. Yeah. Man, I flew home, bro.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Mate, that's what I'm saying, bro.
I'm like a 15-minute drive from Marvel when there's no traffic. It's crazy.
Bro, you fly home. It's almost better than winning and being stuck in the traffic.
Man, I'm just thinking like how excited I was beating Gold Coast. It's almost up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When you get older and you beat the traffic, it's like a high. It's like cocaine, bro.
Yeah.
Not that I would know.
Definitely not. But yeah, but nothing funnier than seeing the fans leaving. Like, did you see that one kid? Shout out to him. He's rocking the Sam Draper mullet wig. And then Jake Stringer misses that goal on three-quarter time. Sorry, how on earth he misses that? I've got no idea. And the kid's just like clapping and like, wait, no way. No way this guy just missed that shot.
Look, I think that kid has to find a new idol, man. Sam Draper is just not the guy.
Man. Oh, true.
Pick any ruckman other than him, man. He's like the worst there is at the moment.
Somehow, he has had an influence up forward. I will give him that somehow.
Yeah, last couple of weeks.
But man, in terms of a consistent, reliable, like he's like the opposite of what a ruckman should be in terms of like consistency, tough. He's just like a flashy, he wants to be like a small forward. This
guy. He wants to be a midfielder.
Unbelievable. We'll laugh about the Bombers a little bit more, but shout out Dyson Heppel.
Yeah, yeah.
Flowers for him. Great Flowers career. He went through a lot, obviously, that Asada stuff and, you know, kind of, what do you think of not playing him?
I don't know, man. Like, are they going to play him at all? Are they playing him this week? They're out of the finals race, so they'll play him. But it's just not at home.
Yeah, it's not at home. I actually want to shout out. So we had on the last pod, I'm just bringing it up now, we had a commenter by the name of Jen. Oh, hang on, I've got to read this one in one word. Jen Wilbur Landres, 980. So I had a bit of a go at Brad Scott for not playing Goldstein, Heppel and Peter Wright when the season was on the line, your vets, right?
Yep.
Wright, I didn't even know this. He's on big money. Apparently the back end of his contract's like huge stuff. I heard it on the Gettable pod earlier today. Right. Anyway. So you got Goldstein, Heppel and Wright out. And he was saying to me as a reply of our comment, he said, he agrees Brad Scott's been bad, but phasing out those three players was the right decision. They haven't been good unless I've seen a different version of them. Fair comment.
Mm.
I probably haven't seen the Bombers as closely as him, but You would have thought, like, get a bit of emotion in the game. Like, Dyson Heupel's goodbye game. Your season's on the line. Get your vet in. Yep. Really questionable call. I don't know. I kind of stand by my comment.
I kind of feel like Goldstein's been the better ruck than Draper as well, personally.
Well, and that's the thing. The only thing Draper can say, like I said, is he's had an impact up forward. But, you know, is it Nick Bryan in the ruck? Very promising young ruck, but they've been waiting for him to get fit. So I kind of get that. But I don't know. Like, Sydney, like, you can use Goldie to just nullify Grundy a bit with his tap work and then just have Draper coming in causing a bit of chaos. I don't know. I think Brad Scott, as usual, has mismanaged the team.
I think Essendon's got bigger issues than whether those selections are right or wrong, though. I don't know if they would have really made too much of a difference. Their narrative is kind of their narrative. Their slide is kind of what they've done the last couple of years. So
yeah.
I don't know what really changes it. Did I think that they would have a chance this game? Kind of, just because it's just one of those things where it wouldn't be funny if now that the season's gone, they win against Sydney. And, you know, they had all the play. Like, this is another one of those games where Essendon kind of dominated through the midfield and just couldn't put scoreboard pressure on. And then, like a lot of teams have done to them this year, the better team has kind of been able to hold Essendon at bay. And then when they had their turn, that's when they really went bang. And that's what Sydney done. And that's what Sydney has kind of done for most of the year. Really bad starters. Mm. And again, just really bad starters. Like, Essendon had double their inside 50s at halftime.
Yeah, that's crazy. To only, what did they have to show for it? Nothing. They were losing. Yeah. Sorry, Essendon was winning, but only by a goal.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, man, with the third quarter, right? So Sydney, all it was two 3 goal bursts within like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Bang, bang, game over. But then, even in saying that, Langford misses the shot end of the quarter. Then Stringer on the siren. If he scores that, which he should, it's within 15 or 16 points.
Yeah.
And how he misses that is just absurd. I don't know. I think he's out of contract. They cannot be paying this guy anymore. No. I'm sorry. When you've got Caddy, you've got Langford. You've got enough there to build a forward line around that. You don't need Jake Stringer wasting chances like that all the time.
The problem with him is that, like, he's an extremely talented footballer, but he just doesn't reach his potential. I remember a couple of years back when Essendon made the finals. That second half of the year, Jake Stringer was close to the best player in the comp. Like, he, you know, that's still in him, but is it his preparation? Is it his attitude? Is it, we don't know, right? We're not behind the scenes. So when you've got a player that's X-factor like that, you think to yourself, if you just get him right, it's kind of like, to me, like a Jack Martin type in Carlton. Even Jack Martin's more injury, but it's like, this guy could do so much if he just played or if he just applied. Stringer's kind of like that. So you don't want to just kick away that type of potential because he's the type of guy that can win you games. But he hasn't been that really since he moved from the Dogs.
Well, I think as well, he's the kind of player that when the team's going well is when he'll shine the best, which is, I actually understand that from a forward's point of view, like the supply is so important and how that ball comes in. So like, it's a bit obvious to say that, but I think him especially, he thrives on more opportunity because he's a bit wasteful and he's a bit erratic, but sometimes he pulls it off and it's amazing.
Yeah. So, well, I also think that if he was fitter, he'd probably get a stint in the midfield.
Yeah, true.
At times, right? And provide a little bit of X factor, like the Papley does, or I don't know, like Zach Bailey does for Brisbane, these type of players. So he hasn't done that probably even once this year.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. But look, disappointing season from Essendon in the end. Another one that kind of fell through their fingers. I don't know how they get better. They've got a big off season. They've got a lot of hard decisions and looks at each other like they did last season. Interesting to see the commentary from Kyle Langford if it comes through again, if he's public about it. But yeah, I can just imagine like Zach Merritt at the end of this round, even if they win or lose, saying, yeah, we've got to get better. We've got to get stronger. We've got to look. The same talk. That would be just so hard as a supporter to listen to that, man.
Yeah, I agree. And look, talking about Sydney for a second here, it's actually wild how these guys just casually have Luke Parker in the forward line kicking three.
Yeah.
Heaney kicking three. Haywood kicking three.
Yeah.
The only thing, and I kind of flagged this a while ago when Sydney was flying, and I said, look, I'm not entirely convinced by their key forwards when it comes to a big final, in saying that Amadi can take marks. So can McDonald at times. I think they'll be okay enough if their small forward brigade is all fit, like Papley's fit and the rest of them are in form. But these guys, just when they get going, they've got so many players that can hurt you. It's ridiculous.
Well, I kind of had that as a note as well. The goal kickers are interesting because Parker and Heaney kick 6 goals between them. Braden Campbell's a half back. They kick two goals. Florent, like a winger, half forward type of vibe, a goal. A mighty kick too. So like most of their goals have come from the midfield and that's kind of been the case this year. Like they've been sport with Heaney, Warner, who's injured. I don't know how long Warner's out for. That could hurt their season significantly if he's out for the finals. Mm. And then Gulden. Those three have kicked like the most goals any mids have kicked in, like record-breaking type of stuff. So their work has covered up some holes, right? Mm. But they've done it all year. Who's to say they can't continue to do it throughout the finals?
Yeah, that's fair. And Mills actually had his best game since being injured. 26 touches, that's eight marks. I think if he's kind of like the key. Like, I don't think they rely on him on ball anymore, but he's kind of that general at the back. But he pushes up as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's their captain. I'm sure he's providing leadership on field and, you know, keeping people together. He can play in any real position. He hasn't played much footy this year, so if he can get himself right for finals and in the zone, he'll make a difference.
Yeah.
One other shout-out to a random player, just because he had an amazing game, Nick Martin. He's criticised with his kicking, but man's had three goals and 32 possessions. Like, you can't do more as a footballer. Yeah. 100% time on ground as well.
Yeah, and 100%. Mm. That's crazy. I think as well, like, just watching him play, he actually gave a shit. And, like, the Bombers players gave up in that last quarter. He didn't. He was going to the last second, you know, trying to win it. So yeah,
he runs pretty hard, man.
Yeah. No, fair play. That's a good shout. But, yeah, until next year, Bombers. Another 365 days without a final win.
Brutal, man.
Brutal, yeah. Oh, well. The next game. So, the Suns, man. What a pathetic loss.
Yeah, that's bad.
Pathetic. Like, the one thing you can say all year is your home's been a fortress.
Yeah.
And to put this shit up against Melbourne is embarrassing.
They just gave up, man. They just didn't care. I mean, like, they won an away game in great fashion. Took Miller, comes back, right? And he's been injured for most of the season. So, he boosts the midfield. They've got two games left in the season to kind of show something. And they're just like, oh, I don't care. They'll let a Melbourne side that's lost Oliver now, has Petrarca trade rumours, has Neil Bullen requesting a trade, coming away, playing in the heat, and demolishing you. Like, what type of betting person do you have to be to pick Melbourne in that type of game?
That's what I mean. And especially in the manner of which they lost, which was, like, it was a close game, like the Essendon one at halftime.
Yeah.
And you'd think, like, whether you think your season's done or not, you're like, oh, we're in a game of football here. Let's just see it out.
Yeah.
They just went to sleep. And I think the coaching as well. I've had a go at Brad Scott lately. Like, Damien Hardwick, firstly, we know he's come into the club. He's claimed that his list is almost complete and whatnot. Like, we've also had a bit of fun with that. But he's gone lacocious defender, attacker, dropped. Sexton, defender, attacker, dropped.
Mm.
Then he's gone McAndrew, defender, attacker. Okay, doing pretty well. Showing a bit of promise. Like, he can use this as maybe an excuse, like he's trying to find the right spots for everyone and whatnot, but, like, I don't think it's rocket science. I think McAndrew is a brilliant intercept defender. Like, why are you, as good as he can be as a forward, why are you moving him when you've got King and Walter? It's not like you're deprived of key forward stocks.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Lukosius, fair enough if it's not working out, but what are you doing to set this guy? Like, he's actually played much better football and he's capable of a lot more. Like, why can you not utilize a man of that skill?
It's kind of almost a curse with Lukosius because he's kind of drafted as a player that can play anywhere. And those type of guys, you kind of have to find a home for him. Otherwise, they get lost, right? And he's lost. He played on the wing in his career. He's played halfback in his career. Now he's played half forward in his career. Kicked those goals last year from like 60 metres out.
Yeah.
But yeah, what is he? And now there's trade rumours that he's going to come back home.
Probably should. I mean...
And what's he worth?
Well, on the Gettable Pod... Not to reference Cal Toomey again, but...
Your mate.
My mate, Cal. he was saying, like, the Crows' first-round pick, is it enough sort of thing? Like, and that's going to be a top-five pick. So, I don't know if
he's... definitely enough, man.
I don't know, man. It depends how desperate Adelaide are. They've kind of been the team that thinks they're more ahead than they are, so they'll probably do it, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But, yeah, credit to the D's, man. I mean, even without Oliver, it's probably... Is that telling that they were able to overrun the Suns without Ollie in the team?
Yeah, I mean, look, their followers are what, Sparrow and Rivers, right? But Viney had a game of his life. He's been great all season. He's great last year as well. So he stepped up. Look, I just think Melbourne are a relatively tough team. You know, I said it last couple of weeks, like, they're a pretty good team to miss the finals.
Mm.
I think they just lack a bit of star power at the moment. But it's not like they're easy beats.
Got a bit of a theory about Melbourne, man. So they've had a lot of controversy lately off the field, right?
Mm.
I'm starting to think it's a bit of... just false leaks going out there just to G up the boys. Like, just to unite the lads. Just say, look what they're saying about us. They reckon our culture's shit. And then bang, win by 40.
Yeah. Look, if you want to really prove us wrong, man, you'd play in the eight and do some damage in finals. Interesting, interesting way of kind of working that scenario. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, that's all right.
Look, enough if they lose someone like Petrarca, though, that would be like earth shattering to their team, though. Yeah, even Neil Bullen, like, he's a pretty good soldier. I mean, like, he's the type of player you can get rid of, but like, you don't want to lose too many of those type of players, right?
Yeah. Melbourne's actually in a good spot in the draft this year because it's a heavy midfielder draft, and it's kind of the year where they need a midfielder. Like, Neil Bullen leaving, Viney's not getting any younger, Oliver's not getting any better. So I'll be interested to see who they pick, but yeah, good on them. Very impressed, and Suns are just an embarrassment. Next game, Giants v Freo. Very entertaining. I unfortunately didn't watch this one live.
Yeah.
But man, Freo, I feel for him because this was the game actually where they've played the best they have in weeks.
Yeah.
But it just wrong team at the wrong time.
Look, it was, you're right, it had been a good game. And, you know, it was actually it's very close in the end, right? It just kind of felt like I watched this game and it just kind of felt like anytime Freo would make something happen, the Giants would just find a way to respond. Like immediately. It's just kind of boom, 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 but they just could never escape it. Giants are a pretty good team. They're at home. Freo are pretty good as well. Still chance of, well, they're out of the eight somehow, right? I think that Giants are going to make a big run this year, but they kind of remind me a little bit of Carlton in the way that they rely heavily on their key forward. Ous being Kerno, Jesse Hogan for them. He's doing so much work for them, right? And he kicked 6 goals, 4. Could have been bigger because he missed some easy shots. But like, he's the best forward in the comp. He's going to win the Coleman deservedly. But he's doing a lot of work for them up forward. Now, there was a guy called Brent Daniels that had like the game of his absolute life.
What was that,
like,
bro?
Ridiculous, man. The guy's like 160 centimeters, bro. Like, he's just
is that the best performance from a small forward?
Maybe
I can't remember.
I can't remember a better one.
Like a Stephen Milne kicking. What did he kick like once? Like 10 goals or something?
Yeah,
like, some... I think that's an exception. Like, that's always going to be the best.
This guy's kicking goals. He's getting clearances. He's running around, running ragged. Like, ridiculous.
Like, an all-rounded, not just goals, small forward performance. Might be the best ever. 29 touches, 7 marks.
It might
marks.
Be ranking-wise the best ever. 195 Supercoach points.
13 tackles and 3 goals is impressive alone as a small forward. To mix it in with 29 disposals is disgusting. Credit to the guy. Well done. I hear what you say about Carlton and GWS comp, though. The only thing I would say, like, I agree they rely a lot on Hogan, but we just mentioned their Daniels, Toby Green. Like, they've got these Darcy Jones.
They've got players, man.
They've got players on the ground floor where it's like, they're doing, and even like mirroring Carlton's second half of the year last year, it's kind of quite similar.
Well, they did it last year as well. I think the reason why I like the Giants is Tom Green's come back into form, had a massive game, right? Like a ridiculous performance. Kelly, he's come back in the team recently, hasn't set the world on fire, but if he just gets games into his system, they got, I mean, Whitfield's had a great year.
Coniglio's back.
Coniglio's back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, their plays, it's like on a chessboard, they're getting their players into position to strike. So even though I feel like a few of their players have done some heavy lifting this year, and I think they're still doing that even in this game, if they can finish in the top four, they get a nice rest and they reset. Like, when they're on, they're going to be hard to stop, man.
Yeah, I agree about the players all coming back. Because there was a time there, like a month ago, where they were playing a lot of lesser-known players, let's say. I'm not going to say no names, but lesser-known players. Now I'm looking at it, there was Stone getting subbed on for McMullen, and that's about it. Everyone else is like, that's a GWS. And
is Sam Taylor even playing?
I think he's back. Yes, he is back.
He's back.
So Taylor's back. Buckley's playing, you know, career-best form. It's just, I don't know, man. I think these guys here are hitting, they're the only team we can say hitting form at the right time and have the experience. Whereas Hawthorn has all the form in the world, not the experience.
Yep.
And every other team up there is sort of beatable. I don't think they would fear anybody. It's just a matter of getting that. I think the home final will be key.
Yeah. Look, but GWS are also a notoriously good travel team. So they don't care about crowds because they can't get one at home anyway.
True. Interesting. So,
yeah. I mean, when it comes to Freo, man, like, you got Brayshaw, 41 possessions. Sarong found his kicking goals. Frederick had a good game. Patrick Voss, they got some nice players. They're a pretty good team. And they battled hard, but it just like some just crazy ass performances from some of the Giants, like Daniels, as we said. Green, 40 possessions, Hogan, 6 goals. I think they just carried.
Well, Freo played their part in the game. They gave it the rule. They just, like I said, they played the wrong team at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Surely they would have beaten pretty much anyone else in that scenario.
I think
It came. Yeah. It was 8 points. Hogan got a 50-meter free kick that kind of buried the game in the end. It's a tough one. It's one of those games where like every contest meant something. High pressure. It's hard to really kind of separate the teams, but the points in the end go to Giants.
And Freo, so now they're basically waiting to see if you guys lose, and then they have to beat Port with that knowledge.
Yeah.
That's a huge ask. Both ways. It's going to be
They're lucky that it's at home. That gives them an advantage.
Yeah.
Port playing pretty good football as well. I'd be very happy to tip Freo, though.
Yeah.
In that game.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost a couple close ones in a row for it. It's pretty stiff.
It's the kind of tip where, like, you want to just tip it right before the game. Because if Carlton's won, I'm not tipping them. I'm not tipping Freo, knowing that they've lost. And
I reckon if you're a Freo player, you don't look at that game.
Oh, it'd be so hard. The fans will give off the vibe as soon as they walk out. Yeah, if the fans are G'd up, they know they're a chance of making
They'll be showing the live ladder and shit, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. We'll talk more about next week when we get there. But, yeah, that's all I've got on this game. Man, this next game. So I'm at my little cousin, my little niece's, birthday party, Collingwood. And there's a guy there sort of, as you're in Melbourne, you're going to see at a social event, someone watching the footy on their phone, especially the diehard fans.
100%.
So this guy's watching the Collingwood game as a Pies fan. And I sort of knew that they were down about 3 goals. I'm like, why is this guy still got his head in his phone? Like, it's over, bro. Next minute, man celebrating.
Yeah.
How? And you know what? Before the North game completely depressed me. I was thinking after this result, like, I don't feel so bad about North anymore last week because, like, teams are consistently copying, like, 3 goals in 5 minutes to turn a game. Like, if any team's going to be on the end of that, it'd be us at some point in the year. So, like, I was kind of like, you know what? It happens. But how is it happening to Brisbane right now?
It's happened. Goal leads mean absolutely nothing in today's game. I don't remember it being like that when we were growing up. Like, if you had a 50-point lead, it's a 50-point lead. Nowadays, it's like, oh, 50 points at halftime. Boys are in this.
Get it down to 24 and you're on. You know?
Yeah, like it's just insane. Look, Brisbane are like the opposite of Sydney because they're the best first quarter team in the comp by a mile. Points for, they're like way above everyone else, right? Mm. And then like they did the same thing last week. They dominated Brisbane, GWS, showed their best football and then lost. How do you lose up this much against Collingwood? I mean, credit to the Pies, like they can still play good football. I said Melbourne are a pretty good team not to play make the eight, but Collingwood are they're a pretty good team, man.
Yeah.
And look, like two draws, right?
Yeah.
One of those draws and they're in the eight. One of those is, you know.
Well, it's their own fault for starting the year poorly. Yeah. And then the injuries kicked in. But if they even just started okay, then the injuries hit in, they still would have made it.
Look, man, so, you wouldn't want to play Collingwood in the finals, man.
No.
No, you wouldn't, with the crowd behind them. But, I mean, I was just saying before, the Giants are being carried a little bit by some of their best players. I mean, talk about Nick Daigle's. Just turning it on.
Have you ever seen the commentators more excited than in that second quarter when he's kicked two and had, what was it, like 14
he's
touches?
He's the only player on the field.
Apparently, the only living people that have done that is like Nick Daigle and Gary Ablett. That's about it.
Yeah. No one they even call him like the little, they use the word little master, like little magician.
No one else has ever kicked two goals in a quarter and had 14 disposals.
Luke Parker did.
Mate, you don't hear him talking about him.
The night before. Look, credit where credit's due. The kid's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know, Brisbane. Like, Shell Shock. They've got plenty of good players. They don't have any excuse to give up a lead like that. And Collingwood hasn't really done the comeback from behind this year. Teams have been able to stop it.
Only against North, and that was kind of a freaky game as it was.
Yeah. They've done it once or twice, but they were doing it every game.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think with Brisbane, it's not a big deal to lose this game, and it's not a big deal to lose last week, but what it does show is that when you're in the finals and you will be in a close game, the other team knows that they can get you.
Yeah.
If anything, like that's my biggest thought on this game is like Brisbane needs to just find a way to close these games out, man.
And I don't know if Brisbane can make, or they probably can mathematically make the top four, but you know, with Geelong versus West Coast and however it's going, it kind of makes sense. Like Brisbane have at times looked like the most informed team, but probably consistent with the overall context of the season, it kind of makes sense that they kind of falter a little bit.
It would have been crazy if they made top four from where they were.
Yeah.
So this kind of makes a bit more sense.
If you look at the grand scheme of it, you know, they haven't had the fortress of the Gabba. You know, they're not exactly the same team that they were last year. They're still pretty damaging when they play good football. But maybe they are like a fifth or sixth. type of team in the end.
Which is crazy for the comp, because these guys were at grand finals last year. And yeah. Collingwood's most likely not making the eight.
They're not making the eight. Geez. I don't want to hear any talk of Collingwood making the eight. But for them to make the eight, as I said before, Carlton has to lose by 100 points and Collingwood has to win by 100 points. Don't mention Collingwood in finals, boys. Sorry. Yeah. It's just not happening. Anytime I say, well, mathematically means it ain't happening.
If you're bringing out the mathematically. Yeah,
you're bringing out like Excel spreadsheets, bro. You're not playing finals. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's over. Just quickly on the Pies, though. Is it time to give some flowers to Lachie Schultz? Look, he copped a lot of shit at the start of the year.
One of his better games.
Two goals in that last couple of goals.
I think no, because anyone would rather have Ginnivan in their team now than him, surely.
Yeah.
Surely. Ginnivan's had a way better year than Schultz.
And the pick, just to like casually throw out your first round pick and then not make the eight, is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's a bad trade.
They'd much prefer a midfielder now in an even draft.
Like if it was pick 17 or 18.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. But pick 10, I don't know.
That's too much for him, man. Yeah. But if you want to give flowers to someone, there's a ruckman called Darcy Cameron. Mm. He's been unbelievable this year, man. Completely under the radar. Like, you think of your best rucks, you think Gorn, you think Jerry, you think Tom DeConing when he wasn't injured, right? Grundy, his first half of the year. This guy's contested marking is off the charts.
Yeah.
Like, he's seriously performing. So, and no one's going to give him any flowers. He's not going to make All-Australian. He'll probably win their best and fairest. Or come close. Dacos exists, so no. Yeah. But he might be second.
It's not a bad
job. You probably wouldn't think that start of the season.
You know what? You're right, because he was always kind of known for the around-the-ground marking, but his tap work itself this year has been a lot better.
Tap work's been good, but like I'm telling you, like this guy does not drop a mark around the ground.
Mm. Your tall players need to be grabbing marks. Yeah. It's so important to a team structure.
Yeah, and like it gets you out of trouble, helps you set up.
Yep.
You're under pressure, you take a mark. It's invaluable. So he's been great, man. Really good.
No, good on him. And then, man, how on earth? This is another game. I was still at this party, like seeing Geelong comfortably up. And how do you throw this away when top four's on the cards? You throw away a 6-goal lead to the Saints.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Leads mean absolutely nothing, dude.
And like, I'm obsessed with like goals in a row. That's my biggest thing to track this year.
What'd they kick, like 7 or something?
In that third quarter, so Cats are up 67 to 24. Within 7 minutes and 43 seconds, the Saints have kicked 4.
Yeah.
Right? And then they've gone ahead and kicked the next 2 as well. So they've hit the lead. Just in that one quarter, the lead evaporated. It wasn't even a 2-quarter effort.
Yeah. There was Steele, Marshall and Wilkie had far. Talk about having a performance of a quarter. Wilkie intercepting everything. Marshall had 10 clearances or something in that game. Still, as the captain, stepped up. And they just had all the momentum. Yeah. Saints can score quick. And they've had problems scoring. But they have those random games where all their smalls get involved. And they have tools like Cooper Sharman, who no one knew the name of a couple of weeks ago. But is really actually playing good football. And just those players just stand up. And they look great. They're youngsters. Like Darcy Wilson had another big game. You know, Owens, when he's on, he looks great. And you kind of think to yourself, oh, the Saints. Okay, yeah, the Saints.
But how, I agree with you, but like, I know it's always said like, oh, how are you better without King? But the fact that they have.
Yeah.
They've been so much better without him.
This looks so dangerous. They've got good smalls though. Like, yes. Jack Higgins is a good player.
It's what I was saying earlier in the year. Yeah. I said, what's with all these smalls? Like, Dan Butler's decent.
Yeah.
Owens. Like, how does it not work to have that hub and then these guys at his feet? Why wasn't it working? I think their only job this offseason, like, yeah, they'll recruit one or two people like everyone else will, but just figure out a way to play with this guy and those smalls, King and the smalls, because that's a winning recipe.
It is.
You know, there's no excuse for it not to be this fluid when you've got some excitement off halfback. You've got Sinclair, Wanganui, Malera, some decent key position players. Just make it happen. Like, come on.
They really don't have that bad of a list, man.
No. And they're going to draft a gun mid to join the midfield brigade.
Yeah.
So let's go. Come on. What are they doing? They've got to be pushing for finals really hard next year.
They're the type of team that could slingshot back. It's hard to predict it because you just never really know where they're at. But if they were good next year, you wouldn't be surprised.
I expect them next year to be in that 7th to 10th, like really seriously fighting for finals.
Surely, man.
And if the wild card comes in next year, they should be in that wild card match, I think. They've just got to be consistent. They were sleeping in the first half of the year.
Yeah.
So that's on them. But no, the Cats, man, like, disgusting.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how they can go to Frio, have such an impressive performance, and then be up this much and lose and then still be in the top four? Like, honestly, man, this team just makes no sense to me.
Well, last week I went pretty bold because I was very impressed by that Freo win and the attitude of their
players. It was an amazing
win. But I don't know. So the Saints late... Is it just me imagining this? Or, like, do the Saints give them trouble every time they play, even though they don't always beat them? It always seems to be a close game.
I don't know what the record is, but it might be the case. I mean, I don't think Geelong's that good of a Marvel team either. But, I mean, they have the lead. Like, I don't know.
That's the thing, man. Like,
sometimes Geelong looks so good, and sometimes their midfield just gets absolutely pantsed.
Yeah. Well, it's a credit to them that they don't get pantsed in the midfield every week. So, fair enough. When Jack Steele's winding it back to the 2020s, you know you're in trouble, man.
That's right.
Top three mid of the 2020s.
If you know, you know.
All right, next game. The showdown. Man.
I tipped Adelaide for this one, man.
Did you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look, Adelaide are one of the best 15th place teams I've seen in a while, man. Like, they're actually, they can do some serious damage, man. You don't want to verse Adelaide. They beat the Bulldogs, right? They were leading for most of this game until Houston absolutely killed Rankin.
Mm.
And that changed the game to me, man.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Dear me, like, what on earth is Houston thinking there?
Look, he's made a big mistake, but like, anytime you see a player hit the ground and then like their arm does something funky.
That's scary.
It's actually sickening. Like, it's actually, he's just like a deer that's been hit like on the road. Like, it's actually scary.
And good on Taylor Walker, I believe, that started the melee afterwards. Like, there's no way you watch your player get that and there's not a fight. There has to be.
Yeah. Well, the thing that always gets me about that is, like, they go off the fight and the player's, like, on the ground, like, dead.
Yeah.
And, like, just left to... But what I don't get about this whole thing, the biggest mystery for me, and I was watching this live, why was that not a free kick? How can you not pay that? Razor Ray, I know you're retiring, but, like, honestly, bro.
If this doesn't sum up umpires, the fact that they'll give a dangerous tackle.
But Port kicked the goal from that.
Did they?
They kicked the goal from that play.
Man, I was too busy watching the fight. But honest, like, this is sums it up, right? So a player will do a dangerous looking tackle that's not even hit the ground. They'll pay it just because of a dangerous act. Someone gets KO'd. You're allowed to pay that 3 seconds later when you see him hit the ground.
Yeah.
We'll forgive you
if
you don't pay it right
Stop
away.
Stop the play. There's a player dead. Like, absolutely annihilated. Life could be over. Brain damage forever. That type of hit. And, I'll just play on, boys.
Man.
And, like, I don't remember who the player was, but he's arguing with the umpire, saying, and the umpire's like, go away, stay away, stay, like, as if he's in danger. And the guy's like, you got to pay a free kick for that. And it's like, yes, you do.
He would rather...
How did that happen? How did that happen from a hit in the ankle?
I think the umpire would rather give a free kick for dissent, for complaining about the free kick,
could you imagine,
than actually giving it.
Imagine he pulled one of those ones.
Man, it wouldn't
as his last trump card before he retires.
And you know what? On that play, one more thing. The Port fans that were booing Rankin off the field, you dirty grubs, firstly. Secondly,
they got a bad reputation for a reason, dude.
How dare you get angry at everyone else for booing Horne Francis last year when he deserved it? I stick to it this day. The man made a fraud. He made the draft look fraudulent by not sticking with the draft process and his draft contract. So he deserved to be booed. This guy's been knocked out.
Yeah.
And you don't even know how well
he is.
He's
their best player, bro.
Correct. You don't even know if he's okay coming off because he's stretchered, obviously.
Mm.
Anyway, filthy.
Look, that turned the game, in my opinion. Like, Adelaide, they had that game, I reckon.
You think?
Yeah, well, they led the whole game. Like, it was close, but there was nothing to suggest that Adelaide couldn't have won that game.
After that,
it just fell off. Just fell off, man. And Butters was unbelievable. Very deserving of the medal.
I know. What did he have in the end? 42 touches.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And a goal at the end as well. He's just a freak.
Yeah. I must say as well, I really like how Hinkley's using Horne Francis this year. Like, that play out of the goal square, like, it seems a bit like showy, but it's working. And the man can play forward.
He can do it. He's for all that we've said about this guy, he is going to be such a deadly player. Yeah. It's actually scary.
Well, it makes sense
he was a number one draft pick, man.
This is the exact role he was playing when he got drafted, and he was playing seniors in the Sandful.
Yeah.
And he was basically out of the goal square and mid, but kicking goals every game like this. 20-odd touches and goals.
Yeah. So he's full impact, full damage player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's special, man.
No, he's a great player. But yeah, look, otherwise, that was the big talking point of the game. Like you said, Crows were in it, then they weren't. Do you think Port can do anything in finals? Something just about that. You said it last week. I can't buy into it.
Yeah, I can't buy into it either. Look, they're going to be top four again, but they were top four last year. And they
last 2 years, weren't they?
And they straight set.
Or was it Melbourne the last 2 years?
Melbourne last 2 years straight sets. Port. But Port were top four last year.
Last year they got swept, yeah.
Yeah.
Giants beat them in Port, and then who eliminated them? Collingwood? No.
Maybe. No. No, Collingwood versus GWS. Yeah. Whoever it was, anyway, someone made short work of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think they're a pretty good team this year. I think they've proven that. But, yeah, I can't really see it. I can't see them on the last day of September. I just can't see it at all.
I can see them in a prelim, but I can't see them winning the prelim, if that makes sense.
No. I just don't think they're going to do it.
But then would it surprise you if they're in a prelim and Butters goes off his tits?
They've got a couple of special players, don't get me wrong.
But then they win it.
Well, Houston is one of their key cogs. He's not going to be there.
Yeah, true. How funny is it, like, the rumors of him leaving? Like, you recruit the guy. He's missing the first month at least of football.
He'll miss football, man.
Yeah.
He will miss, I reckon, that's a six-week ban.
So he'll miss the first.
So let's say they play two finals and this round three. He missed the first three games next year.
Yeah, three games to four, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'll be interested to see what, like, usually I don't care what the tribunal's on about and AFL 360 talking about it all week, but I'll be interested to see how they judge this one.
Look, I didn't like the commentary live where it kind of took the commentators a little bit of time to get around to the fact that Houston was gone.
Mm.
It's like they'll give him the benefit down. Like, I don't know, boys. I'm like, just grow a spine, boys, and just say, all right, he is finished. Because it's so obvious he's finished.
Well, how
he's a fair player. I'm not saying he's not a fair player, but he's just KO'd someone.
Well,
man,
the ones where you've tackled someone and it's an unfortunate concussion getting bans,
that's different.
That's a football act. Like, this has got nothing to do with the footy.
Yeah.
So he's gone. Now forget about it.
Yeah.
All right.
He's linked to Carlton, though. I don't want him, by the way. He's a good player, but I don't want him.
It'll cost a lot.
Yeah. It's not worth what it will cost.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about North for a little bit. So I go to the game with my couple uncles.
Can I ask you why you've gone to the annual North Melbourne getting slaughtered by Western Bulldogs game? There's an annual, like, they have a festival.
So
there's face painting.
You know what? I'd like to say that's not even true, but I've been to two 100-point losses to the Dogs now. So it's actually, it's a thing. So here's what happened. So I've got my membership, general admin membership, and I get the replacement game for free, right? But I've also got a little godson who goes for the Dogs, and the North side of the family, which is my wife's side, all the uncles are like, oh, let's all go, all the kids will come, you know, the godson that goes for the Dogs will come. So like, there's a bit of a Dogs link, and then the rest of the North family. So like, oh, we'll all go. So I'm like, why am I going to say no to that? Right? Bit of fun, bit of company. Including Mats's papu, Mats's grandpa. So he was there as well.
We're going to the grand final.
No, we're not. So anyway, so we're going in. There's a bit of a thought of like, oh man, there's upsets every week. Every week we think we know the result. I don't know. And you know what? We started the game excellently.
Yeah.
Besides the usual like, hey, we're actually playing a bit too good here. Let's just give the ball to the Bont. Mm. Like, we literally turnovers to goals. I think if you asked anyone in that ground, like, who was the better team in that quarter, I think they would say actually North had the ascendancy slightly.
Right, okay.
Which makes it even more crazy that we've lost by 100 points, yeah, right? And all that happened, like, in my eyes, man, every time we play the Dogs, it seems like wherever we kick it, they've just got more players. And it seems like they've cheated and chucked an extra five players on, which obviously they haven't.
I reckon they just smell blood in this, and they just, everyone wants
they
a
are,
piece of the
no,
pie.
They are flat track bullies, and I don't even say that as an insult. I just say that, like,
they are.
They see a week, they see food and they eat it. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
But, man, when you're in the middle, like, the clearances at halftime, I think, was 20-8, right? And Tristan Jerry's having every hit out. Not blaming him, but Libba's feasting. The Bont's just sidestepping everyone. Jalore's bursting out of the pack. Like, every time we would win it, they had players. Like, they just swarmed us. That's all I can say, man. And as soon as Charlie Common got knocked out, which, by the way, like, I'm all for players putting their body on the line, but this guy here, it's like he's, instead of running onto traffic to save a baby in a pram, he's running onto traffic to, like, get a ball, but there's no ball. Like, what are you doing, man? You're putting yourself, literally just throwing yourself in front of a car. Gets knocked out, and then as soon as he went down, we've got Callum Dawson on Sam Darcy.
Yeah.
Basically, we've got mid-sized defenders playing tall, and Darcy, my God, the only thing I can say is, like, I've witnessed this young man's, probably his finest moment of his career.
Yeah.
20 touches, 7 goals. Unstoppable, man.
Yeah.
We couldn't.
If you kick it to him with outstretched arms, what are you meant to do?
Crazy. And you know what? I'll give someone who didn't play that well, but Aaron Norton, the blocking, you can see it on the field, the blocking he does for his other forwards. Like, when you see Jamara clean jump at the ball, you see Darcy clean jump at the ball, it's because Norton, actually quite unselfishly, is doing a lot of that pre-work in the contest. So anyway, man, I'm at this game. I'm just watching, like, you would think I'd be, like, numb to the pain or, like, there was some North fans behind me like that just started cheering for the Dogs, ironically. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm not one of those guys, man. I'm sitting there, arms crossed, just shaking my head, like as angry as if it's never happened to me before. Like, I was filthy, man. I was depressed that night.
Look, man, the thing is you can lose, but when you lose by, what was the margin?
96 in the end.
Yeah, so 100-point loss is never acceptable, no matter what.
Especially when you're only down by 10 at quarter time and playing well. Like, I don't know what happened to not at least compete in that second half, but there's so many players on our team. Like, one in particular I was really disappointed in was Eddie Ford, who the general AFL fan would be like, who's this guy? But North fans are like, you know what? He's got a bit of IQ. Like, he throws himself about a bit. He's got a jump on him. But this guy here in the first quarter was gassed and couldn't chase anymore. I just think the North team, the North boys, are just dead. Like, couldn't run out last week. Had no legs in this game.
Yeah.
We can't even fathom...
Young team, man. Young team.
We can't even fathom that there's one more game to go. I think if there was another month to go, we'd be copying this slaughtering every week, to be honest. I think we're dead.
Yeah.
One more funny story about the game, right? So I'm leaving, and I haven't done this in a while. Actually, the last time I did this was with Matza when Josh Bruce kicked 10 on us.
Yeah, well, look, if Josh Bruce kicked...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I say to the family, I say, look, on 20 minutes in the last quarter, which I think is pretty generous, I said, on 20-minute mark, I'm out. I'm not staying around.
Yeah.
So me and Bapu leave, right? So we're walking out because I drove him home. And I don't know if you remember at Marvel, but like the Marvel stuff wear these red jackets or like red clothes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're walking out with a lot of other North fans and this innocent, like I'm choosing to think she was just innocently saying like she works in retail, like have a great day.
Yeah.
She sees me walking out early with my Bapu and she's like, thanks for coming. Have a great day.
No. And I'm read like, the room, bro.
Read the room. Have you looked at the TV right in front of you? Like, it's not a great day. I'm not going to have a great day.
It's not customer service. You're like, you don't have to represent Marvel like that.
I know.
Man.
Do you own Marvel Stadium? Like, what's going on here? Read the room, lady.
She's really grateful that North showed up for a 100-point loss. That's what it was.
Oh, God. It's like I was at a family restaurant. Like, yeah, have a great... I hope you enjoyed your meal. Hope you enjoyed your meal. Have a great night.
Did
like,
you get your takeaway?
Get stuffed, man. I was fuming after that. Anyway, miserable day. We're playing the Hawks next week. Just one more pantsing and let the season be done. I walked out with my pants around my ankles, man. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I just was like scurrying my way to the car.
Yeah, I get it, dude. I've been there.
But as we said, traffic, phenomenal on the way home.
Beautiful, man.
Or lack thereof, should I say.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's crazy how far you can get in Melbourne when there's no cars on the road. Man. When everyone's in the stadium laughing at you.
Crazy. I know. Loved it. Anyway, speaking of the Hawks... So this made me even more dirty about the North game, right? Because my brothers, who are Hawthorn and my dad, had corporate box seats and ticket for me. And I said, I'm not going to that. I've got North tickets.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, I could be watching a good team just demolish another team. Yeah. Actually, I kind of was watching that, but I didn't need to be so feeling so bad about it.
You had a sausage roll in your mouth.
I know. But no, the Hawks just, man, 9 goals in that first quarter.
Yeah. Look, they're in form, man, and they're running ragged. They're confident. They're playing finals. There's no way they're losing to North, which is just an incredible effort considering for where they came from and how even the competition is and how many wins you got to win this year, how young they are. It's very, very impressive. I never actually thought that they were going to make it. And now I think they're almost a guarantee because they ain't losing to North.
Could you imagine that?
Look, I'd love it because it gives Carlton a chance, but...
No, it's not happening.
It's not happening. The only thing from that game is one of those ones where Scrimshaw got injured. I don't know the extent of the injury, but he's an important player.
Mm.
And Will Day injured as well.
That's his boy. Yeah. Will Day gone.
Important. They're two important players, man. Like, they're going to need... I know they've had a massive run, but a team that goes to the finals for the first time is not favourite to win those games. Finals is a different atmosphere. It's a different experience. It's umpired differently. It's tough. It's hard. They're going to need all the help they can get, right? And if you lose two of those type of players that have been critical to your ascendancy this year, it makes it tougher. So hopefully that for their season, those guys can kind of make it back in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, their most likely outcome, because they're playing North and the Dogs have the Giants and they might lose that one. So then the Hawks could have a home final against either you guys or the Dogs.
Mm.
Which is crazy to think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They could easily win that first final. Huh?
I reckon if it's the Dogs at the G, they've got them. It's a hard game because the Dogs have a bit more know-how.
Mm.
But I fancy the Hawks on that one anyway. We'll get to that when we get to it. But I reckon the biggest shame, just to talk about Brisbane for a second here, the biggest shame last year was that they could not get the best out of Jack Gunston.
Yeah.
Like you think about just what was missing in that grand final. I don't know, just like a glue guy, just IQ, just a few more smart plays up forward. And you're thinking, they had Jack Gunston on the list. They couldn't get anything out of him all year. Man's just well, he's kicked five. And then, like, looking at his recent games, he's been just, like, prime Gunston, man.
Yeah, he has.
Three last week, four the week before. He's had a couple other bags of three and four all year.
Yeah.
Unreal, man.
But that's one team that can actually isolate a forward, though. Imagine Charlie Curnow in that team.
Oh.
With space, with good kickers, kicking to your advantage. Imagine.
It's a whole, man, there's too many players in footy where, like, you can have low IQ players. Like, it's a whole team mindset that needs to be on point.
Yeah, but their forward line, I think, is probably the most even in terms of its goals.
Mm.
Like, Charles kick goals, Dylan Moore, probably All-Australian, Bruce, Gunston.
Watson, Ginnivan.
Even their winger, McDonald, has kicked a lot of goals.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
I really like him. He's a great player.
Yep.
So, like, they're getting spread from a lot of... They're not relying on one person, you know what I mean? It's not one of those ones where it's like the Giants where Hogan's kicked 60 goals and the next person is whatever it is. So,
but it, I get what you're saying, but just because you might have like a Kerner up forward or like a Larky, for example, it's obviously a team mindset thing because they could easily just kick long to Chol all the time.
They can, but they see better options.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's, so it's that's the lowering of the
football.
Eyes, you know?
Yeah, that's how you play football. It's system over, kind of system over talent in a way
because
they've got a lot of players that are not superstars.
Yeah.
So,
look, 100%,
good,
man.
Great coach. We knew he's a great coach. And, you know, they've drafted a team with, now they've got a big salary cap. Tom Barras is coming to them, I think. So they've got another backman. They probably can splash some money on a superstar mid just to add to the kind of...
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is as well, they've been pretty high in the draft the last couple of years. They haven't exactly drafted some superstar. Like, Watson's playing a role.
Yeah.
Josh Ward's okay.
Josh Ward hasn't lit. McKenzie's the other one.
McKenzie's good, but like none of these guys are the reason they've become good all of a sudden. Like, no. North drafting Sheezel's made us better, clearly.
Yeah.
But like, they haven't even nailed it. And no. They've still, like, they wasted a pick on Granger Barris. They've not even done this rebuild perfectly, yet somehow they're back again.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
They're going to be a pretty damaging team for a long time, man.
You would think.
They're just getting started.
Yeah.
And they do play the style that, if you can't kind of man up on them, they're just going to slice you apart.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. I mean, if there's any year for an upset to happen...
Oh, if they won the flag, it'd be the most incredible victory of all time. Like, that's just...
Hawthorn's first flag of their previous era was 08. That kind of got everyone by surprise against the mighty Geelong, right? And then they took a few more years and then went again. I don't know, man. I don't want to get the Hawthorn fans too excited.
That would be a ridiculous...
Yeah, it would be.
Like, that's just... I can't imagine it happening, but I've doubted them for long enough, and now they're seventh and potentially fifth.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly, man. Look, I guess we should just say one or two things about Richmond because they also played.
They're going to suck next year, man.
Yeah, if the exodus all happens that we think is going to happen.
Oh, mate. And they've still got a lot of ACLs. Like, they don't recover straight away. Mm. I mean, Gibkiss might come back mid-season. We don't know.
I think they're on the North Melbourne trajectory, to be honest with you. They're in trouble.
Yeah, they're in big trouble. Do they have picks and stuff to...
Well, they've got their own pick this year, finally. No. Yeah, I think they've finally got their own pick again from the Hopper-Taranto situation.
So they'll get pick one.
They'll get picks for Baker. They'll get picks for Rioli. So they'll go hard in this draft, but I don't know how quickly that equals.
I think it's going to take them
a long time. As a North fan. Doesn't work like that.
No.
Speaking of drafts and stuff, West Coast got some investment in that. But you guys, man, hey...
Tell me your honest opinion whether you thought we were going to win this or not.
I thought you would... Oh, I said on the pod last week, I think you'll win, but it won't be pretty.
Mm.
But then when the game came close, I was like, man, you know what? If the Eagles play like they did 2 weeks ago in Perth, they're going to win this.
Yeah.
Because they played pretty ferocious football 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But
well,
they
come off 2 wins.
I don't know what happened, man. All I can just imagine is like Crippo just was in the change rooms, like crouched down, like, boys, hop on. Let's go.
Again.
Hop on. I'm taking you for a ride once again.
Yeah. Look, it's an interesting one because even I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And a lot of Carlton fans were kind of like, I don't know, we're going to have to scrap this one. And then after the game, we're like, it's West Coast, bro. What were we worried about?
Mm.
But it's kind of because, like, it's hard to go up there with the injuries and go up to Perth where they play better football. And the West Coast has played some good football, but this is one of those games where they just didn't show up.
Well, that's
pretty disappointing. Like, Gaff's last game, like Gaff, he's kind of had a tainted last couple of years. After he never really recovered from the Brayshaw hit, to be honest.
He didn't
play in the premiership. He's not a premiership player, but let's not pretend like he's been a great player his career. That's not a send off you give him, bro. That's almost like they didn't even care.
Yeah, you're right. Like, they didn't show up, and if they did, it would have been maybe a different story. But
yeah,
credit to you guys though. You brought your best considering who was on the field.
Yeah, look, I was very impressed. It was actually quite an enjoyable game. A lot of the wins we've had this year, I haven't really enjoyed because they've just been high pressure, high stakes, kind of, we got it. But this one was over at halftime. We're up against West Coast, so we just knew they weren't going to fight back. And we honestly mauled them. Like, it was a percentage boost. Who would have expected that? A couple of things to note. Like, yeah, our forward line was absolutely decimated. Like, Harry Mackay wasn't even... We didn't even know he was injured when we're talking. Then he's gone.
True.
So, we've lost Harry. We've lost Charlie. Silvani hasn't played all year. Jack Martin's gone. Lockie Fogarty's gone. Probably missing some other players. Like, that's our best forward line. Mm. DeConning's not in there. So, no tools, right? So, and Carlton is not a smart team. So, the lower your eyes Hawthorn method of finding other options has never been something we can do. We just bomb it to Curnow and hope that he can find a way to make it happen, right? Yeah. Which sometimes he does. Sometimes Mackay does. And that's our system. It's terrible, but that's what we do. So I'm thinking, they're not going to be smart enough to lower their eyes. Who's lining up full forward? Matthew Kennedy and Brody Kemp. I thought it was going to be McGovern. Kemp is probably the smarter pick. Now, Kemp, right, in his draft profile, was a very versatile player. Like, he can play any position. That's what was known of him. That I remember them saying at the time. Cal Toomey and talked about it after the game, that's kind of what his draft profile was like. I actually think he's a natural forward. Because the thing about Kemp is he's not a one-on-one defender. He gets beat one-on-one. But he's very good at reading the ball. He's very good at intercepting, and he's got a big mark.
Mm.
So if you're a forward and you can run a jump at the ball and you're not accountable for your defense, it's actually a natural position.
Well,
kick four goals, bro.
I was going to ask you, was this just like someone had to kick the goals, or do you want to see it maybe even next week?
Yeah, I think we'll need to see it because I don't think we have any other options.
Or maybe when the guys are back.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't love Kemp in the back line.
Mm.
But he's a talented player. Remember, he's like a pick 12. Like, he's not... Like, he needs to be persisted with. I think he's got potential. But look, I was impressed with him. Zach Williams, like, always got a niggle. Always got a niggle, this guy. But he's got class in the forward line. I think always stood up, you know, as kind of the main kind of person that knows how to play forward. Kennedy's quite versatile. But it was just kind of refreshing to see new blood and people playing in different positions and just having a go.
Yeah.
So, no doubt about it, Carlton brought the pressure. And they looked really, really good, maybe because West Coast just didn't show up.
Mm.
But ground balls was great. Getting the ball forward, tapping it forward, kicking it forward, that type of stuff. On point, tackling on point. And yeah, we've got so decimated forward line, our halfback side and Boyd gone. But if you look at the midfield that lined up, Cripps was there, Walsh was there, Hewitt was there, Kennedy was there. You know, it's still pretty good, right?
Yep.
And Pittenett's not the greatest ruckman, but if there's one matchup he can expose, it's Bailey Williams because he's not as strong. And Pittenett had a big performance. So our scores from stoppages or clearances was massive. That's just the game. We just annihilated them, right?
Yeah.
But to see Jackson Binns, you know, his first game was a sub in last quarter. So he gets his first full game, runs hard, kicks a nice goal. Ashton Moya, our draft pick.
It was a nice goal, that one. He
kicked a nice goal.
Yeah.
Cooper Lord, who was in North Melbourne's VFL, plays in,
yes.
Doesn't look completely, the first half doesn't look completely out of thing, runs out of legs in the second half, but looks all right.
Yeah.
Ollie Hollins plays off the half back, just running rings around the game. Looked tough because West Coast was it, but he was breaking tackles. Durden, half forward, running up the game, had 90 super coaches in three quarters, and he got injured. Lockie Cowan, playing more up the ground, playing tough. It was just refreshing to see different players play slightly different positions, but play a system.
Mm.
And we had the most marks we've had inside 15 in the last 4 weeks, and we don't have any of our forwards.
I reckon AFL players just... It must just be that they're just not that smart. And I don't mean that like off the field. I just mean like on the field. It's too fast of a game.
Yeah.
When they see the big forward, they just stop thinking, man. Like, it's almost like, do you even want to be drafting like a monster key forward, or would you rather just draft a bunch of really smart 190-centimeter guys? Like,
I just think it's the way the team plays, man. But we had moments where we were bombing it to a pack and you're like, bro, there's no one down the line. Did you not get the memo? But the majority of the game, we kind of got the ball moving in pretty quickly, and we got isolated. We had always isolated, Zach Williams isolated, Kemp isolated. It was refreshing, but there was space, you know? And they just got it moving forward, tapping it, kicking it, making its way. And then Cripps, man, like, talk about a captain.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, I can confidently say he's winning the Brownlow. I just don't think there's anyone that's going to... He's been amazing. Who's going to compete? Heaney can't. Dacos will be his main competition. Bont plays too selflessly. He gets games where he's stuck up forward. You know, there's other players that get votes.
We know the umpires love Lachie Neale, and he's had another great year.
Umpires love Lachie Neale, but they love Cripps as well. Remember, Cripps, yeah, like, pulled something like 26 votes last year.
True.
He'd had a good year, but he didn't even make All-Australian.
Yeah.
He could be All-Australian captain. I actually think he's worthy of it. Mm. So, just he's been so consistent. He just said, boys, this one's on me, like you said.
Yeah. Hop on.
I was just proud of the performance. I was proud that, you know, they didn't lay down and die. They didn't sook about it. Yeah, the opposition... is probably the worst opposition that you probably could face when they show up like that. But we got the win, man, and probably the best thing about this whole thing is the fact that we blood some new people. I think that rejuvenates us a little bit. And our season is now back in our hands. No mathematical this, can we do this, percentage this. We win next week, no one can take finals from us. And that's a good position to be in.
That's all that you can ask for, considering the slide you've
had. We win. Doesn't matter, we win by 1 point. Collingwood, nothing they can do. Freo, nothing they can do. No one can take it from us. We just got to win. And it's not going to be that easy because Saints are actually pretty good. But
yeah, well, let's get into the tips, right? So Collingwood has to win by 100 points against Melbourne. I don't think it's going to happen, man.
No, Collingwood are done.
I'll tip them, though.
Yeah, they'll win.
Yeah.
Which is the funny part. Yeah. It's percentage, the poor bastards.
Well, and that's, you know what? Like you said, we've been winning by low margins for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough this year.
No.
They needed a few more bigger wins in there. Geelong hosting the Eagles. They'll get that done at GMHBA. Tigers v Suns. Nothing game. It's at the G. Do you think the Tigers can make North nervous about North coming last again? Or no? Suns will win.
No, I reckon they're defeated, man.
All right. I hope the Suns just switch off, though, this time of year.
I think they'll win, man. Look, the Tigers... I can't see it, man.
Fair enough. All right, let's go, Suns. I can't see it. Hawthorn versus North. We've got to go Hawthorn. Lions v the Bombers. So the Lions need to win this to have a chance of top four. And even then, though, it's unlikely because Geelong will win. They can't go second or first. And then Giants are playing dogs. So that's... Actually, no, they can't even jump them. No, they're not coming for top four. No, they're done.
Yeah, they're done.
I still think they'll beat Essendon, though. Sydney v Crows. So Sydney, they've got top seed locked down. So do you think they'll tactically do something here, a few players?
I would.
Let's go Crows.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with
Crows. Let's go Crows, just because I think Sydney...
I like a Crows tip. They're like my kind of...
You and Matta love the Crows, mate. You love the Crows.
They're like my pod tip. They're like, you know, they'll get the sneaky win. They're actually a good team.
Two things you and Matta love is Crows, cheeky Crows tip, and a first half of the year Suns tip. I love it.
I love an early Suns tip, man.
You love it.
Next year, I'm not making that mistake.
Yeah. All right, good. Hop on the Dean train. I'll be like Cripper. You just get on, man.
Nah, the Suns are now in the camp of, unless you prove it to me, same as Essendon. Like, unless you do it, I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah, I agree. This is probably the first like high stakes game.
The Sunday games are the games.
Yes, they're the ones you want, right? So, Dogs v Giants. Dogs win, they get a home final. Giants win, they maybe get top four.
I think Giants, man. Like, I have no reason not to tip them.
It's hard for me coming off seeing the Dogs just be their absolute best. Obviously, it's against North. I'm going to go Giants just out of pure disliking of the Dogs right now. I'm angry at them.
Well, they could actually miss finals.
The Dogs?
Yeah.
Man, I should read this footy article.
It's percentage, right? So, I think it's unlikely. But they're on 52 points, right?
Right, yeah.
So, Carlton wins, Freo wins... Hawks win, Dogs they lose.
They're out. Bro, could you imagine?
You can. It's very possible.
Man.
It's actually very possible.
Let's go for that. Stuff them. I hope they make it out.
I just see the Giants. I feel like they're coming in the right time. I feel like they're mature enough to be able to handle the pressure.
Yep.
I just remember what they were like last season when they had that big run like Carlton. And Carlton versus Giants in the last game. And Giants had to fight to make it into the eight. And they just... were ruthless.
Yeah.
And this is a top four spot for them. Like, this is their flag.
Yeah.
I reckon they're going to stop at nothing, man.
Good. No, I like it. Stuff the Dogs. You guys, all right. So, Carlton at Marvel.
Mm.
Probably not an ideal team to be playing at Marvel.
No.
But you've got the Saints, George. What's going to happen?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I'm a bit nervous for you. I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying to be like...
No. I get it. Like, normally, if we had a full list, I'd say we'd murder them. But I don't know, man. I'm just hoping we get a couple of class players back. Like, if we get one of Mackay and Kurnow back, if we get...
What's the deal
1 to 2 weeks.
Okay.
It could be bullshit, right? But you just get Mackay back, and you just get one other, like, cheeky player...
Mm.
Man, that makes a big difference.
Or do you just hit the Saints with this unknown forward line?
Well, maybe.
How do you prepare for nothing?
I don't know. Look, they're kind of like us, though. Like, you know, they've kind of got a weird forward line as well. I think they're going to be very hard to beat, dude.
Well, their form, what was it? Barring the... There was one game where they just didn't show up. The Crows game was the wet game. That was a bit hard.
Well, they've beaten Geelong. They smashed Essendon. They beat Sydney.
Yeah.
Their second half of the season's been pretty good. Like, I don't know.
You know what, man? I'm going to G you up right now. I'm going to go Blues. Yeah. I don't know if I believe it.
I don't believe it, man. Look.
For you, I'll go Blues.
I appreciate that. Look, I'll go Blues just because I have to.
Yeah, no, you have to.
Look, Cripper to have 40 possessions and 6 goals, mate. You can love do it, buddy. You can do it.
Hop on one last time for all time's sake.
Well, if they win that, it won't be one last time because I don't want to go out in just instant elimination.
Fair. All right. So
if we win, this game's irrelevant.
This last game. Okay. Yeah.
So if Carlton loses, then and Frio wins against Port, then Frio takes Carlton's spot. If Carlton wins, Frio can't make it. And then they're just playing their last game for fun.
But is it important for the Dogs? So Giants beat the Dogs, Hawthorn and you guys win, then it is...
If
the Dogs lose, it's still a game.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because it'll be Dogs on 52 still.
Yeah, that's what we said before, wasn't it?
Frio can get in. So it's only irrelevant if the Dogs win.
Right, I'm thinking from a Carlton perspective, but yeah, you're right.
So if Dogs and Carlton win, it's over for them.
Yeah.
But if one of them lose, which is likely...
Yeah.
Then they're a chance. But then they're playing Port. And Port's going for top four.
Yeah.
Actually, they're going to maintain a home prelim, which is huge.
Someone's going to be heartbroken.
If Port,
I hope it's not me.
Man, Port actually got swept. This is actually interesting now. So Port last year had a home first final against the Giants. And the Giants slapped them up, if you remember.
Yeah, I did. They won a roll.
So they could be in that same position again, home against the Giants,
if
they win. If they lose, they're probably going to go to the Giants. Or it can be as bad as going to Sydney. So I'm going to go... I wish I could tip this right before the game starts. But I'm going to go Freo at home.
I agree. I actually agree, man.
And interesting.
It's very like Carlton's going to miss the 8, aren't they? They're going to miss the 8.
Man. You know, this will be the second time in 3 years you missed it on the last day.
I know.
And it'd be in your own hands
it's
again.
It's so crazy, man. It's if, could, but McGovern kicks that goal after the siren. We're top four. We're top four.
How crazy is that, man?
We're top four. One kick, bro. Collingwood, they don't bottle that loss against Sydney.
Yeah.
They're in the 8.
So close, man.
You got to work so hard to be in the finals this year, man. Like, you're going to need 13 wins. Or 14 wins. Something like that. 13 wins. It's a lot of wins, man.
It's crazy.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. It'll be a big week. But yeah, look, if Carlton loses and we're out of the 8, I'm not going to be much fun on the podcast next week.
For the pod's sake,
I think it's probably going to have to be a Monday night one as well because it's late games.
That's right, yeah. I think, man, last week the pod had like no views. And I'm thinking like, it's a bit harsh because we usually get, you know, like 100 more than we got, which is, you know, we're dealing in small sample. But I think it's because Essendon lost, Carlton lost, Collingwood lost.
The big boys are out. Richmond's nowhere near it.
No one wanted to watch when all those teams. So for the pod's sake, I hope Carlton win.
Boy, I hope Carlton wins, man.
Oh,
like I said, I didn't a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was last week, I didn't even want them to make the finals. But like, if you're in it, anything can happen, man. And like, just winning a final, it's fun, dude. You go to the MCG, at 90,000.
Sing the song outside on the way to the translation.
Sing the songs, go to Swan Street, high five random people.
Actually, I've got a Carlton thing which might not actually fill you with hope, but we're going to end on this, right?
Right.
I've got a Matza special, like a friend of a friend story here for you. To end the pod. So those that have lasted to the end, you've got an inside scoop from Dean right now.
Right? Right.
I can't specify who from the club leaked this info. And I can't tell you about which player it is.
What can you tell me?
What I can tell you is after the Collingwood game, so 2 weeks ago, when you guys obviously lost on the siren, a few players had to uncharacteristically be driven home by staff members because they couldn't drive due to exhaustion slash... The quote was exhaustion slash devastation. Oh, but let's just say the exhaustion was the main thing.
Right.
Going along the lines to say, like, you guys clearly as a list are just decimated, you're exhausted.
Mm.
Now, last week, this game, sorry, I should say, that just passed, suggests otherwise, like, there's still a bit of gas left in the tank. But after that game, apparently, a few players that would usually not need this are getting driven home.
Mm.
So that's, I don't know, take that what you will.
Look, I think that they ran out of legs, man. We said that a couple of weeks ago. There's just some injured players. And that's probably what's led to a lot of these soft tissue injuries is just they're pushing themselves too much, which is pretty shit because I thought we had a good preseason. But make it, win this game, take a break, reset, have a kumbaya, go to Ed Kerno's farm, get around the fire, bring back Tom DeConning, bring back Kerner, bring back Mackay, bring back Jack Martin, bring back Boyd, bring back Chera, bring back and let's go, baby.
Let's do it. And you know what? Even if you lose your final, at least you made it unlike the Bombers and the Pies.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's much of a consolation, but...
It kind of is.
Win one final at least.
Boys. Win a final.
And then another one, and then another one.
All right. Thanks a lot, everyone. Thanks, guys. Like and sub and all that fun stuff.
You won't see me next week if Carlton loses, just FYI. Dino's just going to be like this. So, by myself again this week.
If I can front up after a 100-point loss, you're coming.
Not when we miss finals. It's not the same, bro.
Man, sure felt the same.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Bye.
All right, take care.